youngest, but he had definitely been interrogated the hardest. A European of Arab descent, he was a sniper of extraordinary ability, whose exploits were legendary. Videos of his kills played on continuous loops on jihadist websites across the internet. To his Muslim brothers, he was nothing short of a superhero in the radical Islamist pantheon. To the United States, he was a horrific killing machine, responsible for the deaths of over 100 U.S. soldiers. As Roussar looked into the eyes of his jailers, though, he saw more than the usual pure hatred. Tonight, it was coupled with absolute disgust. Whatever middle-of-the-night interrogation tactic the Joint Task Force Guantanamo soldiers had in store for Roussar and his four colleagues, something told him it wasn't going to be like anything they had experienced before. The guards appeared on the verge of losing control. Roussar was still speculating about his fate when he heard the door at the far end of the cell block shut. Another soldier had entered, carrying 5 paper shopping bags. As he passed, he threw each of the prisoners a bag. "Get dressed," he ordered in awkward Arabic. Confused, all of the prisoners, including Philippe, removed the civilian clothing from their bags and began to get dressed. The men cast furtive glances at one another as they tried to figure out what was happening. "Why don't they make a run for it?" one of the guards whispered to his comrade as he stroked the trigger guard of his M16. "I just want one of these fuckers to rabbit on us." "This is bullshit," replied the other. "What the hell are we doing?"
"You two shut up," barked their commander, who then called in a series of commands over his radio.
Something definitely wasn't right. Once they were completely clothed, shackles were placed around their wrists and ankles, and they were lined up against the far wall. "This is it," thought Roussar, as he held the stare of the soldier who had been hoping for one of the prisoners to make a run for it. The soldier's finger went from his weapon's trigger guard to its actual trigger, and he seemed about to say something when a series of vehicles ground to a halt just outside.
"That's us," shouted the task force commander. "Let's mount up."
The prisoners were shoved toward the door. Roussar hoped that once they got outside and he could see where they were going, things would make more sense. That plan was dashed as one by one, black hoods were placed over each man's head before he was taken outside to a waiting column of green Humvees. 10 minutes later, the convoy came to a stop. Before Roussar's heavy hood was removed, he could make out the distinct, high-pitched whine of idling jet engines. On the rain-soaked tarmac, the prisoners stared up at an enormous Boeing 727 as their shackles were removed. A metal staircase had been rolled up against the side of the aircraft, and its door stood wide open. No one said a word, but based on the demeanor of the soldiers, who seemed to have been ordered to keep their distance from the plane, Roussar came to a stunning conclusion. Without being directed to do so, he took a step forward. When none of the soldiers tried to stop him, he took another, and another, until his feet touched the first metal step and he began climbing upward 2 at a time. His salvation was at hand, just as he had known it eventually would be. With the sound of the other prisoners pounding up the gangway behind him, Roussar stepped cautiously into the cabin. He found an empty place near the window and buckled himself in. As the main cabin door was closed, several members of the flight crew disappeared into the rear of the aircraft and returned lugging odd-looking pieces of medical equipment, along with an equal number of large plastic coolers. Opening his window shade, Roussar could see the soldiers climbing back into their Humvees and driving away from their airstrip, several with their hands hanging out the windows and their middle fingers raised in mock salute. As the aircraft's engines roared to life and the heavy beast began to roll forward, cheers of "Allahu Akbar, God is great," erupted from the front of the plane. Allah was indeed great, but Roussar knew it wasn't he who had arranged for their release. He knew their gratitude was owed to someone much less benevolent. Turning his attention back to the window as the soldiers quickly disappeared from view, Roussar cocked thumb and forefinger, took aim, and pulled an imaginary trigger. Now that he was free, he knew that it was only a matter of time before his handler turned him loose inside America to exact his revenge. Fairfax County, Virginia, 6 months later. A crack of thunder shook the walls and the bedroom windows exploded.